and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. And today, right next to me on the mic is my fellow partner in crime, business partner, Pamela Caldwell. Pam, as always, I love having you in the podcast studio. So welcome back. How are you going? Get us up to speed with what's been going on in your life since we last had you on.
Oh my gosh. Well, since I've actually last been on, we've actually ran a few of our career confidence workshops, mm-hmm. which I know that we're going to delve into today. But life-wise, I've had family over from the UK, which has been absolutely beautiful. I had my parents over. We had an amazing trip to Tasmania, which is just stunning. Never visited there before. Strikes me as very Scottish as well. So it was just lovely. The sun has been shining in Melbourne, which always puts a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just been working really hard as well. I think we can attest to that. There's mm-hmm. not a week goes by that there's not a lot of hard work going on. But mm-hmm. but yeah, look, all is well in my world. So mm-hmm. I'm just always really delighted to join you on the podcast so far and have some really good chats and speak to our lovely Sisterhood Club community.
Absolutely. And we are recording this on a Friday afternoon, which is, you know, usually when we sort of decide to crack open a glass of wine. We're not quite doing that yet because maybe that should be unfiltered podcast. You know, we should maybe do one of those one day where we've had a couple of wines and goodness knows what will come out then. But no, it's a Friday afternoon. We've had a really, really great week. And yeah, you're so right. It's been a really good few weeks, actually. And obviously, you have had a beautiful break, which is just so important. I think, you know, life can get so busy, especially when you're so in a business. And with the economy at the moment, like, you and I are working incredibly hard to bring on new clients. And I think it's just really important to take stock of all the things that really go well in a week. And I think that's something that you and I are getting really better at. I think we used to be absolutely terrible at it, to be honest. I think we used to just focus on all the things that we hadn't done well or the things that weren't going right. But now I think we're getting really good at actually just pausing and thinking, you know, what has actually gone really well this week? And one of the highlights from this week was we went into one of our partners, UniSuper, to deliver a career confidence workshop for their women in tech. And it was just such a beautiful morning. I absolutely loved it. The women were beautiful, incredible, smart, intelligent. And we're going to talk about, obviously, what we spoke about in the workshop, but maybe sort of dive into the more sort of practical tips, tools, habits that we believe can really strengthen your career mindset and ultimately your confidence. That's what we're going to speak to today. But it always strikes Pam and I when we go and run these sessions in organizations and we meet the women who are in incredible roles. Like, you're not just talking like, you know, entry-level roles. You're talking to women who are very senior in their careers that have already got so much to show for, you know, how successful they are. They've got, you know, worked their way up into UniSuper, which is, again, a business that really has high standards. Yet it always strikes me that when we ask the room, one of the exercises we do is we say, okay, out of 1 to 10, where would you say your current levels of confidence are in yourself, in your ability? And on average, I would say, from running this workshop now in a number of organizations, most women in the organizations put themselves between a 5 and a 7. We still see women put themselves quite low. You know, there's always some that congregate down the bottom. And of course, there's always some that go 9 and above, which is phenomenal. But it just seems to me that there's this sort of like flock around the middle when we sort of ask people, like, in terms of where they put themselves. And it's really, really interesting because, and we were laughing obviously in the workshop the other day, if we did this with our male counterparts, where would they put themselves? And that opened up a whole dialogue and a conversation, obviously, in the room, which was really nice. And people got quite vulnerable. But you shared a beautiful story, actually, when we were doing this exercise. Do you want to just share something that sort of gives really good context around how you fluctuated throughout your career where you've doubted yourself? And that might sort of set the tone of then how, when we're in these moments where we feel our confidence sort of fall, what we can do to then get it back to a level where we feel empowered to take charge of our career.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to set the scene for it, the example that I really like to draw on is just something that's happened over the past sort of 18 months. So if you think now, I've almost been doing tech recruitment for almost 20 years. And cut to a couple of years ago, honestly, I felt like I have mastered my craft. There is not a scenario that I would ever come up against that I can't overcome with ease. I just know I can think on my feet. I'm so solutions driven. I'm fantastic at business development. I'm fantastic at process management. I'm fantastic at delivery. I just felt as though I'd nailed absolutely everything. So honestly, a couple of years ago, I would have put myself at, you know, a solid 10 plus.
Love it.
Right. Yeah. I really would have. Yeah. I just felt so comfortable and I was in my zone of genius. Mm-hmm. Now, cut to 18 months ago, the economy did actually start really tightening up. There was, I'm going to call it a bit of a tech recession. Mm-hmm. Now, I have also recruited through some really tough times. I recruited through the GFC. Mm-hmm. Tough, mm-hmm. but we kind of went in and came out of it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So I felt that business development was becoming increasingly challenging, which then left me really questioning my ability, questioning the direction, questioning, have I market mapped correctly? Am I doing enough volume? Is my message landing? So I started spiraling with that. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to actually having live requirements, live roles, and getting on delivery, clients, of course, because everything has been scrutinized, clients were being a lot more particular about the type of resource that they were actually bringing into the business. So then the fulfillment became very, very challenging as well. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in a position for the first time in many years where I maybe wasn't nailing a shortlist first time. Mm-hmm. And I was having to re-resource, honestly, mm-hmm. practically unheard of in my entire career. Mm-hmm. I just always have nailed requirements. So that really affected my confidence. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really realize it for a while. I sort of maybe was going along and not realizing, like, oh, all these little things were stacking up and actually really starting to pull me down. So I went from honestly feeling like master of my craft to really slipping down. And the reason that I give that example is because I've had actual time to really reflect on that journey, is that confidence is not static. It can fluctuate. It can go up and down. And it's so important as an individual when you are navigating your career journey to be truly connected to that and be aware that if you're starting a new program of work or you're emerging into a new skill set, that it can fluctuate up and down. So that was the context and the example that I shared to provide some context and hopefully get the juices flowing and, you know, get people to think about, maybe I'm not feeling as confident at the moment as what I actually think, because I've been doing this job for quite some time. So it provided some good context and I think it really opened up the session really well to allow other women to be really reflective and honest about where they were currently sitting in their own roles.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And when we sort of dived into why the women had placed themselves and put themselves and thought that they were where they were, it was often the case of that they were maybe sort of on a new project, or they were in even a new industry. Like if I think back to the women that were sort of on the lower sort of end of the scale. And we really talked a lot in the workshop about how first and foremost you need courage. And I think this is where we all go so wrong when it comes to confidence and building confidence, is that we think when I feel ready, when I feel confident, when this, when that, we have these stories around it, then I'll step up into that role. Then I'll put my hand up. Then I'll do that sort of new speaking gig or that new project, whatever it is for you. But the truth of the matter is, you are never going to feel ready. You're never, ever going to wake up one day and go, I feel so confident. I'm ready to just take on that new position and that new project. First and foremost, you have to have the courage. And sometimes when you're in those situations where nothing feels like it's working and you're just like starting to really sort of get yourself down, it's then sort of zooming out and being like, again, what am I focusing on? Because this is the other thing I think that we do when we're in these situations, we can quite easily get ourselves into a really negative mindset and focus like we've done in the past, all the things that aren't working. Mm-hmm. But actually, there's always something in what you're doing that is actually working well. But we get so focused and so narrow-minded on the one thing that's actually causing us some stress and challenge that we don't zoom out to see all the other things that actually we're doing really well. And I think then that can really sort of bring us down and just sort of make us feel even less confident and assured of ourselves. So it's such a double-edged sword, but it was just really interesting, your story, how in life, every time we come up against challenges when we're going to in our careers, it's how we reframe it. And it's acknowledging where we are. And it's also okay if you're in a situation right now where your confidence has taken a hit. Maybe you found yourself on the job market after a while. Maybe you're interviewing, you haven't interviewed in a while and you're not getting the best feedback, or you're not landing a job, or you're not even getting an interview in the first place, right? It's so easy in those moments to start thinking, oh God, I'm terrible. I'm rubbish. I'm a failure. And actually look back into your past and your career and your life and think about all the things that you've done really, really well. And that's the thing I kept on reminding you when we were sort of, when you were doubting yourself. And I was like, but Pam, you've got so much evidence for the last 17 years of that you are great at recruitment, that you can deliver, that you can bring on new clients. It's just sometimes we can't control the environment, but we can control what we focus on and how we show up. And I think this is just such a key thing when it comes to your career mindset and confidence in particular, is that we have to be so super, super aware of what we're choosing to focus on. And once we started to having these conversations with the women in the room, we identified some, again, some patterns, and they were focusing on the things that they were scared about, that they were fearful of, that maybe weren't going as well. And if we reframe it to be like, actually, well, what have you done well in the past? What's going well now? And what are your strengths? Let's focus on that. But it's so, so easy to get lost in a moment. And I think sometimes we just need to just zoom out a bit and look at the bigger picture. But it is always fascinating to me when we do work with women that there does seem to be some fear and some blockers. And I think that it's really, really important to self-reflect.
Yeah. You know, one of the more powerful stories that really stood out to me yesterday was one of the women in the room was a solution architect. And she openly and honestly shared that she only ever felt confident when she had successfully delivered a project. And immediately after that, she was right back down again, because her confidence is so fleeting, and she was only focusing on allowing herself to feel that way when she had successfully delivered. Mm-hmm. And being in that project-based cycle, which I think a lot of our female listeners will be in, a lot of people are in project-based roles, it's about stacking that evidence and allowing yourself to just continuously feel that confidence and stacking that evidence throughout the course of it, so that when you go back to the beginning again, you don't have a dramatic shift in the confidence levels that you feel. It's go from a 10 to an 8. Don't go from a 10 to a 5. Don't allow yourself to really feel that insecure about your capabilities when all you've done is successfully deliver project after project after project after project. You know, so I really connected to that story because I thought that is how a lot of the individuals that we speak to must feel when they're in project-based roles. It can be really quite dramatic. As soon as you're back to the beginning again, you've got a group of new stakeholders that you need to get to know. You've got a group of new people that you're delivering for, and it's like you feel as though you need to begin again to build that trust in your own capabilities. And it was a really interesting scenario that she shared, actually.
Yeah, it really was. And let's add then that in terms of our toolkit. So I would say the first thing you need in your toolkit to stop yourself from going on these sort of ups and downs of confidence is self-reflection. And when you self-reflect, say you've come to the end of a project, or you've just done something like, you know, you've stepped up and done a presentation or whatever it is, right? Whatever you've done, it is taking a moment to reflect and feel proud of what you've just achieved. And the more you can stack, like you said, things that you've done well, things that you've really improved upon, things that are going really well, like even the workshop, from the moment that we did, for the first time we did that workshop to yesterday, massive improvements in how we deliver it, in how we speak, in how things land. And I think it's so important that we do self-reflect, because it gives us proof that, oh, I'm getting more competent at this, and that is what builds confidence. But if you're constantly focusing on what's next and you forget about all the things that you've already achieved, you're going to go back to the beginning again. Mm-hmm. So we want to keep this sort of stack going all the time, just building up our confidence, building up the evidence, building up, you know, all of the experience, the knowledge and the wisdom that we have, and just keep on building on top of it, as opposed to constantly starting from scratch. The other thing that I think is really important to touch upon is the whole internal versus external. And we have touched upon this before in the podcast, but I think that when we think of confidence in our career, or when we think about someone that's confident, we automatically think about somebody who's really talkative, who is quite maybe brash and loud, and maybe who's the first person to put their hands up and speak. But that's not always the person that's actually the most confident, or the one that's got the best ideas, or the one that's the best for the project. I think it's really important throughout our careers to bridge the gap, like we talked about, between internal confidence, how people perceive you, and your own internal confidence. So let's sort of just quickly talk on that now, because I think this is where maybe we see some of the women that we put forward for interviews go a bit wrong, because they might feel, I can do the job, but they don't know how to sell themselves. Or when they are on a Zoom meeting or going into an interview, their external presence isn't quite matching what they're really capable of. And that is such a shame, because businesses are missing out on incredible talent because we're not learning how to really position ourselves in a way that is building belief in from that company to go, yep, she's got this. I believe that she's the right person for this role.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know, your comment there is actually just taking my mind back to another session that we ran with another client. And there were a group of women that were sitting, and one of them actually shared a story that came out in her group. And these women were from a different cultural background from you and I. And it just goes to show you that this whole diversity and inclusion conversation, that's, you could strip it back, there's so many layers to it. But what came out, and I'm so pleased that she shared this, she said, look, from my cultural background, she said, we are taught to be highly competent, but we are not taught to be confident. Mm. Now, that was a group of women that were highly intelligent, very successful, but identified that they struggled to make inroads when it came to promotions and step up into leadership, because they have it deeply ingrained to be highly competent, but they know where they're lacking is the external confidence. And I think it's such an interesting concept to look into, is, you know, this balance between making sure that you are both building up your internal confidence and your external confidence. Like, that internal confidence, you have got to have that sheer internal unshakable belief that you can achieve. You need to work on that. And the struggle is, if you are someone that is sitting waiting on someone to give you the pat on the back and give you that external reassurance that you are doing a good job, that is not always going to be there. And if you want to move up into leadership, you need to get to a point in your career where that isn't something that you need in order to know that you're doing a good job, or you don't need that in order to feel motivated or want to keep going. Because as you get further up the career ladder, there are going to be less and less and less people that you're surrounded by that are going to give you that pat on the back. So this is where, like, the importance of building up that internal confidence as you navigate through your career is so incredibly important. So incredibly important. No one is coming to give you a pat on the back when you're at CTO level. You've got to execute on your own, and you need to be steadfast with your own internal confidence.
I know. So I was reflecting as well the other day when we were driving back after doing the workshop, and I just thought, I think the external one, because you could go, we talked obviously about fake it till you make it. So we're going to go on to that in a moment, right? But it's the internal confidence that I think is where so many of us can fall short. Because, yeah, I think when people say fake it till you make it, but if you don't feel internally, if you're not doing the work internally, you're going to then feel like an imposter, right? So if you get the job because you've portrayed that you're so confident and capable, but actually inside you're doubting your ability, when you step into that role, there's going to be cracks that appear. Okay. So you need to make sure that your foundations that you spoke about yesterday as well are so, so solid. So I was thinking the other day how we've gone about, I guess, building our own internal confidence. And I think obviously the first thing is the more we've done things that have scared us, that's absolutely given us the reassurance that we trust ourselves. And I think that for me is really important. It's trust in self. I think when I reflect throughout my life, when I've made the decisions, really just sitting with it and trusting that inner voice, we all have, especially as women, I think, this innate power, this feeling that we get of like, this feels right. But every time that I've trusted that, it's been the right decision. Every time I've gone against that, I've ended up in chaos. And I think we, as a society especially, I feel like because we live such busy lives, we're actually now disconnected from ourselves. And I think the trick here when it comes to like that whole toolkit and being practical now is actually just spending more time with yourself, spending more time in silence. And I know if you're a busy mom that that's hard, but I even said to you this weekend, you just need to just maybe go for a walk on your own. Doesn't have to be for long, or go and sit in the sauna, or go and just do something on your own. And just watch what comes up when you're sat in silence, or you're sat, you know, just within sort of a peaceful place. And I think the more you can get to know yourself, the more you can work on yourself as well. Because if you're not aware of your patterns, if you're not aware of your negative thoughts, if you're not aware of your limiting beliefs, you're constantly going to be triggered. You're constantly going to go through life and wonder why things are triggering you, things are getting you down, or you're not progressing. So I think that internal piece of getting to know yourself, being self-aware, is really, really important. And I think you can do that in a number of ways. Obviously, spending time on your own, meditation, such a powerful tool, journaling, just spending 5-10 minutes at the end of each day or end of each week, just being like, how did I show up today? What, you know, what was I sort of like, what came up this week that maybe I need to sort of work on, you know, using sort of affirmations, like sort of really sort of trying to like reprogram, re-sort of wire your brain with some really powerful affirmations. But the internal piece, getting to know yourself and sitting with yourself, figuring out what is important to me, who am I when I don't have my cell phone, when I'm not with my family, when I'm not at work with a job title and people looking to me, who am I as a person and who do I want to be? And I think we lose ourselves and then we don't know who we are. Then we don't show up as our authentic selves. And that's when the cracks start to come. So that internal self-awareness, self-belief, self-confidence is so important to work on. And I continue to work on it every single day. And I say to you, I'm feeling a little bit off today. And it's because maybe over the last few days, I've not just been with myself enough. There's been lots going on and I feel a bit sort of scattered and my mind's a bit overactive. But then if I sit with just for 10 minutes, just someone just close my eyes, I go, oh, yeah. Okay, that's that thought's coming up a lot at the moment, right? I need to deal with that. But that self-awareness and trust in self, and the way you build trust in yourself is you become more aware of what you're thinking, feeling at any given time. And I just think we need to allow ourselves the space to do that. And then when it comes to that external piece, it's obviously then the body language. It's being aware not to stand with your arms folded. It's being aware not to hunch your shoulders. It's being aware not to play with your hair. It's being aware of just standing in your power, standing there knowing that you own this, you own your space, you know who you are as a human being. And that you can just tell instantly, can't you, when someone walks into the room and she knows who she is. She's got that self-belief in herself. She just has a different energy. And again, that comes from the internal, but then it's projecting it into the external as well. So that whole body language, the voice, the way you dress then, the way you present yourself, this all matters. But I do believe it's the internal piece that we don't spend enough time on, because we do live busy lives, but it's so important.
I think the internal piece is definitely more important, because as you say, then it becomes that if you work on the internal first, I think the external is then easier to achieve.
Correct.
If you're like maybe even like a more insular, quieter character, then if you have got that internal belief in your own competence, then you can work on the external. And that is my opinion. I believe mm-hmm. that working on external confidence is actually the easier part. Agreed. You can do mirror work. You can get some sort of coach that can mm-hmm. really help draw that external, what's perceived as external confidence out in you. It can mm-hmm. be practiced. You can stand in front of the mirror and you mm-hmm. can practice, you know, dropping your shoulder, how you want to walk into a room. Practice not fidgeting. Mm-hmm. You know, practice, you know, the what position you're going to have in your hands mm-hmm. in when you go into a meeting. These are all things that you mm-hmm. can really practice over time. But when you've got that internal confidence, that's what projects, because it can be like an energy thing as well. But with the external confidence piece, it can be easily practiced. You can speak to yourself. You can talk to yourself in the mirror. Like, again, visualization. Mm-hmm. Absolutely visualize the next time that you're in a meeting, you have got something that you want to say. How are you going to say it? How are you going to project your voice? How are you going to learn to speak with a level of assertiveness to ensure that your point is heard, seen, and valued? That is ultimately it. If you're speaking in a really quiet, shaky voice like that, do you think that the people that you're surrounded by around that board table have the confidence that you know what you're doing? Maybe not. Mm. You speak in a little bit more of a neutral tone. Maybe it's a little bit more well received. If you come into that meeting mm-hmm. and you speak in a more assertive tone, and this mm-hmm. is the way that you deliver your mm-hmm. answer, people sit up, they listen, and it's just... It just matters. Mm. So the tonality of voice is something that I do think should be practiced. And also the projection of your voice as well. Mm. Its tone relates to also the sound and how far it travels as well. Mm. I think like the whole tone of voice is so important. And if we actually think, bring it back to our day-to-day job in CH Solutions, and when we prepare our female candidates for interview, we always aim to set them up for success and provide them with the tools to ensure that they can present the best versions of themselves. A lot of the times the feedback is, if the female candidate doesn't secure the role, is that she just wasn't confident enough. And that feedback, it's not good enough. Clients need to get better at feedback. But also what I would love to see is, I think we need to read between the lines there. And I think that a lot of times we get that feedback because of the external confidence piece, and it's how answers are projected, how answers are spoken to. And that does come back to tone of voice and your delivery. So mm-hmm. it sounds so simple, mm-hmm. but the tone of your voice, it matters massively.
Can I tell you what also I've noticed really senior executives do that are really in positions of power? They pause. I've never caught a woman that, and I'm thinking of a particular woman at the moment, when she is thinking, she doesn't go, she sits in the silence. And there's something so empowering about that. I can tell she's thinking. And then when she speaks, it's so intentional. It lands. And I know that this is actually something I'm continuing to work on, because I'm somebody that does have quite a fast mind. So the thoughts come out quickly. And sometimes I don't want to overthink things as well, so I'll just speak it into being. But what I'm working on in my own presentation skills is to learn the power of the pause and letting things land. And I think when it comes to presenting, when it comes to speaking, when it comes to interviewing, don't be afraid of just pausing for a few seconds, gathering your thoughts, and then speaking. You come up, there's something about doing that that you just come across as really credible. Oh, this, she's really speaking with a lot of intention. I think sometimes we need to learn to slow down a bit, be thinking, right, what am I going to say next? Don't just fill the room with noise, pause. And if you're not sure as well, it's okay just to say, can you just give me a moment to really think about that? And that again is an external confidence piece, because the nerves in us can sometimes get the better of us and we just want to fumble over our words and say something. But actually there's power in the pause, in taking a moment to gather your thoughts and then speaking. So never feel if you're in an interview or you're in a presentation or whatever you're doing that you've just got to constantly speak. Someone asks you a question and you just need a moment. Say you just kind of have a moment just to really think about that. And just pause. Right. This is what I think. That, I don't know what, I just think there's so many great leaders that I've worked with and I've watched do that really, really well. So I think that's just another thing that, a little strategy there that could also go in the toolkit. Pause, the power of the pause, power of just gathering your thoughts and not just constantly speaking, because I think that's when you trip over yourself. And I've done that so many times, fall over my words, said a filler word. And then I feel like, oh, that just came across as just so uneducated. And I've beaten myself up for that many times. So I think just something to think about when we are presenting and that whole external confidence piece. But final thing before we sort of move on from this little topic here is that the whole fake it till you make it did come up yesterday. And I've always had like mixed thoughts with fake it till you make it. Part of me loves it because I've done it multiple times in my career. Like when I first started in recruitment, I was doing my first calls and I didn't have a clue what I was saying. And I was looking at the job brief and looking at the CV and going, I don't know what's happening here. Is this person right for the role? I don't know what questions to ask. And I completely faked it till I made it, right? Because I didn't have, would say, the best training, right? But I think the more senior we get in our careers, we then need to make sure that, okay, it's all right to portray a certain, present yourself in a certain way. However, you do also need to be backing it up with action. So if you've identified that you are faking it, avoid imposter syndrome, because that's when I think imposter syndrome comes in. If we feel a bit underprepared or we feel like we've got some gaps, own that. Go away and learn a few different things. Go away and invest in yourself. Go away and do that public speaking course, read that book, listen to that podcast, go on that course, do something so you're not constantly having to fake it till you make it. Because if you don't learn, if you don't upskill, that's going to catch up with you. And I think especially as it becomes more apparent and obvious when people start stepping up to leadership, because people go, she's actually got no idea what she's talking about. And then that's when we do feel like imposters, and that's when our confidence comes crumbling down. So as you step up in your career, as you level up in your career and your life, make sure that you are topping up your knowledge bucket at the same time, because otherwise you are going to be faking it till you make it, and you might not actually ever make it. Because if you haven't got the substance there to back up what you're saying, you're going to not only feel like an imposter, but look like an imposter, because people are going to go, does this person actually know what they're doing? So I love fake it till you make it up until a certain point.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I would never say fake it till you make it by kidding on that you can do a certain job that you can't. To provide context to it, right, if you ever saw that clip of Rihanna, and it was an interviewer saying, what do you do the days that you wake up and you don't feel confident? And she goes, well, I fake it. Right. And it's the external, because we all have the shaky moments. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can just show up, and if you are feeling a little bit shaky, but what you put out mm-hmm. is something completely different, your energy circles back to you. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's almost, if you're not feeling confident, fake that energy mm-hmm. because it will come back to you.
Mm-hmm. But then go away and go, ooh, I don't ever want to feel like that again. What can I do next time to avoid yeah. myself from feeling like that? Is there anything I can go and work on? Is there any, do I need to go and get a coach or a mentor just to make sure that I'm not going into a position? So I had a friend the other day, we were talking about this the other day. She stepped into a pitch and she said to me, she said, I felt so out of place there. I just didn't feel ready for it. She's like, even though I knew I'd worked hard to get in that room, I felt like, what am I doing at this table? And I thought it was so interesting. I said, so what are you going to do about it? And she'd identified three things that she wanted to go away and work on, and she was going to go and work on them. So next time she was in the room, she felt more prepared. But I just said to her, the thing is, then you're going to go into another room and you're going to identify again, oh, I need to level up again. I said, but that's exciting as well. I think we need to reframe this a little bit as well. It's like every time we step up, every time we go to the next level, we do need to learn more. We do need to look at ourselves and go, okay, what do I need to do now to get myself to this next position, to get myself to this next promotion? And that is also exciting again. I think we need to maybe reframe certain things. It's like every time we step up, we're going to need to look at ourselves and go, right, what do I need to work on? What could I do even better? How could I present myself better? How could I make sure that I haven't got any limiting beliefs? How can I nut those out? But every time we do something that's going to scare us, we're going to come up against ourselves. And that is also quite exciting because I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a life where I'm just cruising along in gear two, really comfortable, can do everything standing on my head, never have to work on myself, never have to improve myself. What boring life that's going to be. And they wake up one day and go, oh, well, this is a bit mediocre, isn't it? You know? So I like the challenge of having to work on myself. I like it if I go into a room and go, oh, could have been better prepared there, could have done that. Like, it's like not beating yourself up, but it's then making sure that I'm not constantly putting myself in these positions of feeling like I'm a fraud or I'm an imposter. So I think that's the thing about fake it till you make it. I think it has its place to a certain degree, but we also need to back it up with facts. We also need to make sure we work on ourselves. There was just such a, also I just want to say this as well about yesterday, which is really interesting. There was a really, really great energy in the room yesterday. And one thing I would say about when women particularly come together, the vulnerability, the stories come out. And I think it's just a reminder for us all of how surrounding yourself with people can really actually elevate your own confidence. Because sometimes when you're in these rooms, hearing these stories, you realize something really, really profound and important. I am not alone. I am not the only one that thinks and feels this way at times. And there's something so empowering about that. And you and I do it all the time. Like, we know we might bump into some colleagues if we're having a bit of a shaky week in the business and old people we used to work with. And we go, oh, how are you going? How's things with you? And they might go, oh, do you know what? It's just, I'm in a real tough time at the moment. And we sort of look at each other and go, God, we're so hard on ourselves, aren't we? Sometimes you just need that reminder of like, oh, I'm not the only one that thinks and feels like this. And I think that in itself sometimes can make you feel more confident.
100%. And it just goes back to what we are ultimately trying to achieve with Sisterhood Club as well, the power of community. Mm-hmm. Right. And I could feel it in the room yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about a group of women that don't always have access and speak to each other on a daily or a weekly basis, people from all different parts of the organization. Mm-hmm. But you could feel the power, you could feel the connection mm-hmm. growing, the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. The sharing of stories, everyone feeling like they left that session yesterday with some really great connections. Mm-hmm. And that is what's really powerful. But I agree, when women come together, we can achieve great things. And I just felt the support. You could really feel the sense of like authenticity of the women in the room. They genuinely wanted to be there for each other as much as they wanted to really work on themselves and really get intentional about what they want to achieve with their own careers as well. Mm-hmm. But I would absolutely agree with that. It was mm-hmm. lovely, lovely, lovely session yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So it's a few things, and I think we can just really make sure that we've got in our own toolkits and everyone has got in their own toolkit. So number one is always self-reflect. work on yourself, work on your self-awareness, build that trust within yourself. I love at the end of the week to sit down with the journal and think what's gone well. What has gone really well this week? And I write it all down. I give myself a moment to feel that sense of like pride and just like give myself that pat on the back. Then I will ask myself, what could be even better? And it's a different question versus what's not gone well, right? Because your mind is so like, it's so easy to go to all the negatives. It's so easy to focus on that, but that does nothing for our confidence. So the first thing in the toolkit to add in is that self-reflection piece. That is so, so, so important. Honestly, I feel like that's been the biggest thing that has built over time, the internal confidence for myself. The second piece, I think, is being so aware of your thoughts and really having a practice that can make you more conscious of your thoughts, whether that's journaling, like I just said, whether that's meditation, whether that's just sitting in silence for a few moments each day, but just really being aware, what are you thinking or feeling throughout the day? That could be an exercise that you do, just pausing and just checking in with yourself. But the more you become aware of what you're thinking or feeling on any given moment, the more you can challenge those thoughts, the more you can see them as thoughts, not facts. The more you can see how they're dictating your actions. Because if you're constantly telling yourself a story of, I'm not good enough, I don't belong here, this is never going to work, guess what? That's going to manifest in your life. So it's really, really important to become aware of your thoughts and your feelings in a given moment. Visualization. We did that visualization exercise with the women in the room yesterday. It's such a powerful thing to just focus on where you want to go. That clarity of thought. Where am I going? What do I want to achieve? What do I want to draw into the day? What's an intention I could bring into this day today? That's another really empowering thing. Journaling, I've mentioned that. And then when it comes to external, I mean, you've nailed this. Your body language, your tone of voice, the way you present yourself, how you show up for your team, for the people around you, like that external piece, that visibility piece, you can work on that. You said about mirror work as well, like incredibly important. Network, who you surround yourself with. I mean, when you and I are having our moments, gratefully we've got each other. Mm-hmm. But I think every single person needs a sponsor or a cheerleader inside and outside of work. Now, inside of work, that's you. Outside of work, that would be my husband. He's my biggest fan and my biggest critic. You know, he's mm-hmm. the first to say, great job. But he's also the first to say, well, I think that could be said in a more empowering way. You know, he's very good at framing his words. So I'll definitely give him that. But I think the bottom line is these tools, they're daily habits. And if you're serious about becoming more confident, having more trust in yourself, having higher levels of belief, improving your mindset, these are things that get done on a regular basis. And we can all fit in these little habits into our lives, whether it's a journal practice, a gratitude practice, a meditation practice, mirror work, body working on your body language, practicing recording your voice and listening back to it. Like every week I say to you, I listen back to the podcast. And sometimes I'll cringe and I'll go, oh God, can't bear to listen to myself anymore. Hang up. But it's helped me dramatically think about how I want to come across on the podcast. Am I using my tonality? Am I having too many filler words? But again, we can't sort of, I guess, change what we're not measuring. We're not sort of like, if we're not looking to improve something, we never will. Anything to add to the toolbox, Paola? I know I've just listed off everything we've just spoken about there, but...
You know, yes. Yes, because I've just been thinking about something else that came up yesterday. And I honestly think that it can impact confidence. So I'm going to speak it out loud. And I don't even know if I'm going to do it justice because I'm just speaking as I think here. We spoke about the impact of women feeling like they need to wear so many hats.
Yeah.
Right. And we want to have the career. We want to be a fantastic mum. We want to be a fantastic wife. We want to keep the house spick and span. We want to make sure our grey hairs are covered. We've got our Botox, our eyebrows are waxed, and we've been in the gym 5 times a week and we've done 10,000 steps a day. You know, there's, I could go on, right? But there's so many things that as women that we take on our shoulders, and we want to be amazing at every single one of them.
Perfect is the word, perfect, isn't it?
Perfection. And it's not achievable.
Mm.
It's just not. You can't be great at everything all at the one time. So what I would like to suggest is that getting clear on your core values has been life-changing for me. It wasn't something that I'd thought about until about 5 years ago, and it has changed my life for the better. I now know what our core values are. I'm now aware of the fact that the order of that can change, and that is okay. I know that family is my core number one. However, I am also okay, and I am aware of the weeks that that needs to flip.
Mm.
And then I utilize the tools around me and the people around me to make sure that if that's not able to be my number one this week, then it's someone else's number one, the parts that I can't pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we don't, as women, take stock and take the time to think on a weekly basis about what the core values are when we enter that week and how that's going to look, we can very quickly feel like a failure.
Mm.
We feel like we've failed, we've not been at the gym at all. We feel that we've failed, we didn't manage to get to school pick up, or we've not helped our daughter finish that school project in time. We forgot it was Harmony Day and they were meant to be wearing a splash of orange. You know, that can make you feel like a failure. You then take that into your working day and you're not able to then show up as the best version of yourself at work. Then you feel like, oh, I could have performed better in that session. I could have said this. I could have said, I know this. Bash.
Mm-hmm.
And that can really affect our confidence as women. We need to stop trying to take ownership of every single facet of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's honestly where we fall down quite a lot, mm-hmm. and where we are too tough on ourselves. I honestly think sitting with a notepad and thinking about what your core values are, and be aware of the fact that it's okay for it to flip and change, but you're not going to be able to be everything to everyone at any one time, and accepting that that is also okay.
It is so okay. And I think the key tool in all of that is don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, as women, we are so afraid of admitting that maybe we are maximized. Maybe we don't have everything under control. Maybe we actually need just 30 minutes just to go outside and take a few deep breaths and just to, you know, palm off the kids to somebody else for 30 minutes. And that is okay. It doesn't mean you're a failure. Doesn't mean you're a bad mum. Doesn't mean that you're not worthy. It's so challenging, I think, sometimes, but it is actually the pressure we put on ourselves.
Yes.
More than anything else, because I just think, you know, everything you're doing with the business and the kids is amazing. And you're sort of, but then maybe in your mind it's like, oh, I'm not doing anything well. And it's like, actually, you're doing so much well. You really, really are. And I think that we are our own worst critics, and it is okay to ask and reach out for help. It's not a weakness. It shouldn't be seen as a weakness. And I think that if actually more women said, hey, look, can you, I'm got this massive work project that I'm falling behind on this week. Would you mind picking my kid up from school one day? And then when that woman is having a hectic week, she won't feel as bad asking you. So sometimes we need to like lean on each other, the power of community. Right? Like they say, it used to take a village to raise a family, right?
Yeah.
And so why has that changed? Why do we think that's any different now? Why do we think we've got to do everything on our own, right? We don't. So I think it is ultimately, as women, making sure that you've got a really good support network around you, checking in with each other, making sure everyone's okay inside and outside of the workplace, and just not being afraid to ask for help when you need it. Because life is not going to slow down. It's only going to speed up as things evolve and technology is and everything that's coming at us constantly all the time. And we need to learn to give ourselves the space to just be sometimes, but also never, ever be afraid to ask for that assistance and that help. Whether that's, you know, you need to get a cleaner in once a month, whether that's, you know, you need somebody, like I say, to just pick your kids up from school one day a week, or like, we need to be able to be honest with ourselves. If we feel we need the help, we need to be able to ask for it. And it's not seeing it as a failure, or that we're not capable, because we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that was definitely something that came out of the session when one of the women actually shared that yesterday, like she feels as though she's wearing a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. I could physically see a lot of nodding heads in the room as well. Yeah. Like there were so many people that just felt that deeply.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, really sitting with yourself and just identifying like what is most important for you, because you can very easily just like give yourself an absolute bashing. We are honestly our own worst critics. And
yeah. I think as well, just final thing, because what I don't want to see, and we're kind of going on a bit of a tangent, but it does all sort of link back to like confidence, self-belief and trust in ourselves. But what I don't want to see is women get so overwhelmed at work that they actually end up leaving the workforce. That is actually quite scary to me. Mm-hmm. We need women in the workforce. We need our minds. We need our thoughts. We need diversity in businesses, because otherwise we're just going to create products and service for one type of person. And we're actually going to go backwards in time. And all of our late grandparents that fought for our rights and our independence, I don't want to see women go backwards. Right. So it's like, this is why it's really, really important for organizations. And this is a whole other topic in another podcast in itself, so I'm not going to go there, but it's really, really important for organizations to make sure that, like UniSuper did, that they are enabling these safe spaces for women to come together and share their stories, that they're offering flexibility, that they're listening. What do women actually want? Well, actually, flexibility is actually number one in a lot of the workplaces, because a lot of the women still are the primary carers.
Mm-hmm. And the chefs.
And the chefs and the cleaners and everything else, right? And there's amazing husbands out there. I don't cook in my house. My husband cooks, right? But that's not also the reality of a lot of marriages. Like, you know, a lot of husbands are also working, you know, Monday, Friday, 9 to 5, right? But we need to use our voices. We need to speak up for what we need. And do you know what? If your kids get a microwave meal once a week, it's not going to kill them. Mm-hmm. Right? Like sometimes you got to do what's right for you. You can't be everything all the time to everybody. And when life gets busy and work gets busy, it's okay to chuck on, you know, tuna and rice, you know, whatever like is in the fridge, rust it together, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it's God, that could be a whole other topic in itself, but I just don't want to see women get so overwhelmed because they're wearing so many different hats. And then all the workplaces start saying, you've got to come back in the office 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And then women go, do you know what? Screw this. I can't cope. And we end up having a workforce that's back to sort of being mostly men.
Correct.
You know, like that's what I don't want to avoid. And we also, as women as well, need to make sure that we're positioning ourselves into a position where we are future-proof in our career. We are thinking about AI. We are thinking about what's to come. And I don't want to overwhelm people, but we do also need to make sure that like we're looking at trends, we're looking at patterns, and we are future-proof in our career. And again, that's all coming back down to sort of like building that internal confidence in yourself that I can learn something new. I've done this before. I can go and do that AI course. I'm incredibly intelligent. I'll pick that up. It's not limiting our thinking. And that's why we need to constantly be aware of what we're thinking and feeling at any given time as much as possible. I know it's a really hard thing a skill to master, but it's so worth mastering, because if you just go through life completely unconscious of your thoughts and what's going on, you're going to end up finding yourself in a position maybe in 10 years' time that you don't want to be in, right? So we've covered a lot of ground, but ultimately, to the women out there, believe in yourself, trust yourself, don't be afraid to ask for help. We need you in the workplace. We don't want you to get burnt out and exhausted. So make sure that you're prioritizing your own health, you're prioritizing your internal state, you're working on your presentation and the way you sort of present yourself and making sure you're visible in the organizations, because it is crucial for our future and our young girls' future as well, that we all work on this every single day, work on the self-belief, work on the trust, because if we don't, I do worry that we're going to fall back in time, and that would be incredibly concerning and sad. So let's avoid that from happening. And I think we could just do a whole episode on future of work and how to future-proof your careers. And I think it's just such an important topic right now, and maybe how to manage stress in a more productive way, time management maybe. Like, let us know. Like, we're just guessing here. So write to me and Pam, message us on LinkedIn, reach out to us on social media, and let us know, what do you want us to talk about? What are you struggling with right now? What would you like us to dive deep into? Let's get a bit of a pulse check into our community of what you'd like us to speak about. Confidence always comes up, which is why we do talk about it a lot. But anything else that you're struggling with right now, anything else you want to, do you want us to go into and gain some clarity on, let us know. But Pam, great conversation as always.
Oh, I could chat for another couple
of
hours.
We always go deep. And I think as well, it's like, the other thing I would just finally say is that it's all right not to know. I think as human beings, that like, we want to know the answers to everything. And I think like, we're actually in a time of in time in our lives right now where we don't know a lot. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's coming. We don't know when we're going to be out of the economy that we're in now. There's so much uncertainty. There is so much uncertainty. The only thing that is certain is if you continue to work on yourself and you continue to build that self-belief and trust within yourself, you will prepare yourself for as much as you possibly can for the uncertainty that's to come. And it's okay not to know. And it's okay to feel a bit nervous and scared of what's around the corner. You know, I think we're all feeling a little bit like, oh, what's going to happen now? Every time I open the news, like I'm going, Jesus, what's happening?
Well, swiftly close that, please.
Yeah, exactly. Shutting the app down. But we're living in a really interesting time right now. So go easy on yourself. Keep on trusting yourself. Keep on working yourself. Keep on building that internal and external confidence. Keep on adding to your toolkit, because that's what's going to be needed as we move into this next future of work. So on that note, we will love and leave you, and we'll speak to you again very soon. Have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Thank you.